In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. You know, people say the early church, we want to do what the early church did, and we do. But the point is, they had their problems too. The Jewish widows were being fed better than the Greek widows. I tell you, they both were Christians, and the apostles did something. They said, you know, we cannot be waiting on the tables. We have to spend our time in prayer and preaching the word of God. And so they anointed and laid hands upon several men and made them deacons. And they were supposed to wait on table, but I don't think they did it, because when the apostolic spirit came upon them, my Lord, they went out and preached and healed the people. So who ends up waiting on tables? I'm sure the women. So we're looking at the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and it says, "And an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip," this is one of the deacons, "saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that you go down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is the desert. And so Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." So he is Jewish, and he came to worship in Jerusalem. "He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch said, How can I, except some man should guide me?" It's still true. How can people come to know Jesus unless some man or woman guide them into a physical, spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh yes, that's why we need evangelists. That's why we need prophets. That's why we need royalty that will do the work of the Spirit of God. Yes, so how can I accept someone should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which the eunuch read was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter," this is Isaiah 53, "like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached Jesus unto the eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "You see, here is water. What does it hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You see, Philip is doing the work of the apostles. He's become an evangelist. He's not waiting on tables. Now, there's nothing wrong with waiting on tables, but you see, when the apostolic spirit came upon the deacons, they went out and preached and did miracles. I'm telling you, every priest that hears my voice, the apostolic spirit came upon you, and you are destined to preach the word of God, to bring people to Christ, and to do miracles. Oh, yes. Yes, the apostolic spirit was given to us at ordination. Yes, and we need to know that that Spirit lives within us, the Spirit that the apostles had, and we need to, by grace, do something, charge it, allow something to happen. It will never happen unless you lay your hands upon the sick, that they would be healed. Yes, I believe in the sacrament of the sick, but also to pray with people for healing. This is the vocation of the priest, to speak the word of God first, and then to bring healing, to celebrate the sacraments with faith. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Hallelujah. He was taken by the scruff of his neck. The Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let me tell you about this eunuch. What do you think happened with this eunuch? He went back to Ethiopia and preached the gospel. So the gospel was brought to Ethiopia, which is an African country, and it was brought by this eunuch. That's what happened. You just don't receive Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and you just keep it to yourself. No, the eunuch went home and began to preach the word of God and began to make disciples of the people in Ethiopia. This is real. This is exactly what happened. He didn't receive the baptism of the Spirit and the and being baptized with the water unless he was going to do something great. And yes, he did. He went back to Ethiopia and began to preach, and to preach with all of his heart, and tell how he met Philip on the road. And then he said to the people, you never know what happened to Philip. One second he's with me, the next second he's gone. The Spirit of the Lord took him someplace, and we know he took him to Azotus. I wonder where Azotus is. I don't know. Chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of the high priest letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's what the early Christians were called, the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he's looking for not converts, but people who have given their life to Jesus so that they would be jailed or killed. Let me tell you. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around him a light from heaven. It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. A light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I'm telling you, my friends, the scripture tells us so clearly. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goad. And I'm telling you, this is where Paul got his doctrine of the body of Christ, that to persecute the body of Christ is to persecute the head, who is Jesus himself. He said, why do you persecute me? Paul was not persecuting the head. He was persecuting the members. And the body of Christ doctrine is found from these scriptures. Why do you persecute me? And it goes on. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told unto you what you must do. And the men which journeyed with Saul stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing anyone. And Saul arose from the earth, and his eyes were opened, but he saw nothing. But they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. So Saul is shaking. His eyes are blind. He met Jesus. What's next, you see? Oh, I tell you, it's all related to what Stephen did when Stephen forgave Saul for throwing the rocks at Stephen. I tell you, he said, do not hold this sin against them. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. So he fasted, and he was 3 days without his sight. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. Lord said unto Ananias, arise and go unto the street called Straight Street, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays, and he has seen a vision, and a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. In other words, people know what Paul is doing before his conversion. He's bringing them to jail. He's killing people. He's doing terrible things. And Ananias said, do you have it right, Lord? You want me to go visit that person that's killing Christians? Is that what you're saying to me, Lord? And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon your name. But the Lord said unto Ananias, go your way. You don't know what happened, Ananias. You don't know what happened on the road to Damascus. You don't know that he fell flat in his face and he was blind. You don't know that, but I'm telling you to go. For he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So the vocation of Saul is to bear the name of Jesus to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, yes, he suffered much for the namesake of Jesus. He suffered much. Let me see if I could find something. You see, Saul was the perfect person to be the one that was walking in the Spirit, because he was so against Christianity. And listen to some of the things that happened to Saul. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more in abundance, more in stripes on my back. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. He must suffer for my name. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He must suffer for my name. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in the waters, in journeyings awful, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, the Jews, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all these that are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak that I am not weak? Who is offended that I do not burn? So we see Saul becomes Paul, and he says all these things that he suffered for the Lord. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was disgraced by the Jews. Yes, Saul suffered. And the Lord said, and there is a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to Straight Street, and a choir at the house of Judah for the man called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays, and he had seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming to him and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of the men how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Notice that he didn't suffer from arthritis. Notice that he didn't suffer from depression. Notice that he didn't suffer from a toothache. He suffered persecution for the sake of Jesus. He was whipped. He was whipped and whipped and whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was in the water. He fasted. He prayed. He was known to be an apostle, but many of the Jews would not accept it. He was disgraced. He was hurt. I tell you, it's nothing to do with physical ailments. It has everything to do with people who suffer for the sake of Jesus. I'm telling you today, there are people suffering for the sake of Jesus. In Nigeria, they just killed 9 young boys was put to death, and now 300 girls probably sold into sex things, you know. In Nigeria, there's Christians are suffering in Nigeria. Christians are suffering at the hands of Muslims that are fanatical. Christians are suffering today that we don't even have the idea that they're suffering, because we in the United States are people who have eaten on bonbons. We don't know what it means to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Oh yes, a little suffering. It's like people throwing popcorn at us. Yeah, you're a Jesus freak, you know? So you used to do a little suffering. I'm telling you, suffering is taking place in the Middle East because people are Christians. There is a pastor they won't let go. I tell you, he's in jail. I tell you, we need to pray for the persecuted Christians. Lord, we pray for the persecuted Christians, they who are suffering for the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless them. We ask you, Lord, that they would not quit. We ask you, Lord, to give them the grace of seeing your face, even as Stephen saw your face while he was being stoned. Oh, Lord, give them grace this day. We pray for the priests who have been in China and who have been really locked up for years and years and years. Give them strength today, Lord. Give them strength today, for they suffer for your name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared unto you on the way as they came, hath sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Not only does Paul receive his sight, but God wants to fill him with the Spirit of Jesus, to fill him with the Holy Ghost and power. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received straight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I tell you, when Paul was baptized, the power of God came upon him. I'm sure he started speaking in other languages and prophesying. Oh yes, he had met the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And the risen Lord said he's going to go to kings and Gentiles and Jews. Oh, but he's going to suffer for my name's sake. We remember how Saul died. His name is Paul now. We remember how Paul died. They chopped off his head. They chopped off his head in Rome. Oh, yes. And I'm just sure that before they chopped off his head, he started to say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm telling you, Saul is a great man. It was the perfect man to be converted. That's why the greatest sinners make the greatest saints. Not that we all don't sin. We're all great sinners. We're all great sinners. But these sinners that persecute the church when they come to know Jesus, my Lord, they do not stop. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days stayed with the disciples who were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that Christ is the Son of God. Didn't take him long. Didn't take him long. After he ate meal and got strengthened, he went to the synagogue to preach Christ, and that's just the way it happened. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man that destroyed them, which was called this name in Jerusalem, and came here for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this was the very Christ." We remember that the scripture says that the salvation is to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. So Saul goes to the synagogues and preaches that Jesus is the Son of God. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill Saul, but their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by a wall, by the wall, in a basket. Maybe he wasn't so tall. In a basket, they let Saul down, because they're already after him. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he joined himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed him not that he was a disciple. You see, he has problems convincing the disciples and the apostles that he too is a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord on the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming and going out of Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Greeks, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, that brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then the churches rest through Judea and Samaria and Galilee, and were edified by Saul, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We see that Saul doesn't wait to take the Life in the Spirit seminars, though they're very wonderful to take. Saul had an experience on the road to Damascus where he saw Jesus, where Jesus took from his heart the heart of stone and gave him the heart of flesh instead. Do you know that you need a heart of flesh? But in order to receive the heart of flesh, you've got to give up the heart of stone. In order for there to be a heart transplant in the physical and in the natural, you have to give up the diseased heart to get the new heart. And I'm telling you, it's the same with the spiritual heart. If you don't give up your old heart, you're not going to get the new heart of flesh. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the heart of stone that is in our hearts, and we say we don't want this stony heart anymore. We want a heart of flesh. We want to hear your word. We want to do your word. We want to live for you. Take our stony hearts, O Lord, and give us a heart of flesh instead. We need that. Sprinkle clean water on us and give us a heart of flesh instead of the heart of stone. We give you thanks for the Apostle Paul. We give you thanks for Stephen, who really was the instrument of salvation when he forgave Saul and the rest of the Jewish people who put him to death. We thank you for Stephen. We thank you very much for Philip, who preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch goes back to Ethiopia and preaches himself because he got filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not to go to heaven, but to do the works of God on the earth. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. You say, I was baptized and confirmed. Have you experienced that power of baptism and conversion in your own life? Have you experienced the power of Pentecost? Yes. Have you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit that you received at confirmation? Yes, you did receive the Holy Spirit, but he's all bound up, and he's not going to be released unless you want the release of the Spirit. And I pray that anyone who wants the release of the Spirit would receive that release this very day by the power of the stripes that are on the back of Jesus, by the power of his death and resurrection, that the Spirit of God would come upon people today in a mighty and awesome way, that people would experience the power of God, that they would go out to preach the Savior, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that they would go and heal the sick. Oh, yes, heal the sick as well as preach the word. Not only priests, not only deacons, not only women, but everyone, that you would receive the Holy Spirit and power, that there'd be this release in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Oh, yes. The Acts of the Apostles are beautiful, beautiful things to read and to study, because we see the acts of the Holy Spirit working through people like us. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season. Yeah.